I'm here to introduce Nathaniel. I'd like to, I'm not going to say much because I just confuse him, but Nathaniel's going to be speaking to Mike Donahue's Sunday School class during the Sunday School hour, so if anybody'd like to come attend, he would be glad to have you. Nathaniel, Pastor Todd, Adam, and myself all went to the same seminary. That's not a brotherhood, but every now and then it's interesting to see how God works in those ways. Several years ago, somebody asked me if I was ever going to Africa, and I said, no, it would take a burning bush experience. Well, it must have happened because I went last year with Nathaniel. But God has been gracious. God showed me a lot during that time frame, and it was good to spend 10 days with Nathaniel in Togo and get to know him better. I knew him before then, and God is really working a mighty work in Nathaniel. His love for the people and his desire to draw Muslims to Christ. And I'm sure he'll be sharing some of that with you. So Nathaniel, without any further ado, would you please come share with us?
Am I on? Oh, okay. Good morning. I have to tell you, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, and that is a great favor. I come from a Francophone country. My English is French English. And since I am in a Presbyterian church, am I in a Presbyterian church? All right. I am in a Presbyterian church. And therefore, I know there is a lot of grace flowing in this place. My English is not going to be good. It's not going to be a very smooth, third kind of English. But I'm hoping that there's a lot of grace here. What a great privilege it is for me to be here. I've been looking forward to be with you. Again, my name is Nathaniel. If you cannot say my name, I don't know, just say, I don't know. And that will be enough for me. I come from a French background, a small country called Togo. You don't get to see anybody or heard about Togo until you meet someone like me. It's a very tiny country, very small country. We were colonized by Germans, and then later on, after the First and Second World War, we became French-speaking country. So it's a mix of two countries there. That is where I come from. I was grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a Presbyterian minister. This is very funny. The first time I came to this country back in 1997, I was looking to go to a church. And people asked me, where do you want to go? And I said, well, can I find a Presbyterian church to go? And they said, but you are black. So, well, you're supposed to be Baptist. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity it is for me to be here, to be chosen and be with you all. As a brothers and sisters, only God can do this, don't you think? That God can bring someone far away from Togo and come and worship with you, just like brothers and sisters. And I'm very, very glad to be with you. It is a great honor for us. I think God is doing something wonderful around the world. Over the years, Africa, Latin America, and Asia used to be called a mission field. Today, we are called majority world. It means that God is doing something wonderful around the world. I know most of you might heard on TVs or radio or newspaper, a lot of people have been saying Christianity is dead. I'm here to tell you that it's not dead. Our God reigns and our God is still alive. God is doing something amazing, and I want you to join God in what he's doing. I think it was Henry Blackaby who said this. He says in his book, Experiencing God, he said, God's desire is to get us from where we are to where he's working. When God reveals to you where he's working, that becomes his invitation to join him. When God reveals his work to you, that is his timing to begin to respond to him. I believe God is doing something tremendous in Latin America, in Asia, in Africa. When we started our ministry way back 19 years ago, we have no clue what God was going to do with us. But we know one thing, and that is God was calling us to radically align our purpose with His purpose. God was calling us to radically align our purpose with God's purpose. And we knew that God takes pleasure to those who dare to radically align their purpose with God's purpose. We only knew then that God was calling us to go and share the good news, the gospel, with the people in the Muslim world. We knew that God was calling us to go and partner with other people, with the nationals, so that we can bring a Reform and Presbyterian Covenantal Church around the world, especially in West Africa. We knew that God was calling us, in fact, to go and reach people so that they can radically be changed by the gospel of grace and go and reach out to their communities so that they also can go and reach out to other people. But we have no clue that God was going to be pleased with what we're doing and smile upon us. 19 years ago, we didn't know that God was going to please with what we're doing. And this morning, I'm here to tell you that not only this small group of people gathered to see the gospel reach the Muslims' world, grow and grow, and I'm glad to tell you this morning that we are in 5 countries. We are not only in 5 countries, but God is bringing thousands of thousands of thousands of people to Himself. And I know that many of you might not believe that because you have been watching Fox News so much that you can't believe that God is bringing Muslims to Himself. But I have to tell you, this is a reality. God is doing something amazing. Don't listen to them. Right now, we are working in Togo, and 10 years ago, it was only 7 churches we had. Today, we have 52 churches in Togo. I mean real churches, not paper report churches. In Senegal, today, as I speak, we have 42 churches, and you have to know that Senegal have 95% of population that worship Allah. In Gambia, we have 87% of people who worship Allah, and yet God is bringing people, and we have 12 churches there. In Ivory Coast, we have 50% of people who worship Allah, and yet we have 6 churches. Last month only, I was going to go to Niger. If you don't know, Niger and Mali are the place right now where Al-Qaeda is working, and yet they have been asking us, can you come and do something for us? 97% of people in the Muslims world, in Mali, are Muslims, and yet God is drawing people to Himself. In Niger, where we are working right now, we have 87% of people who are worshiping Allah, and yet God is bringing people in that group. So it is to tell you that God is doing something fantastic, and our God reigns. Muslims, Islam will not go anywhere. Christianity will grow and will grow stronger. If you are a true Presbyterian, you ought to be glad. Don't you glad that we believe in the sovereignty of God and that God is orchestrating all these things to bring to Himself the glory and not to you, not to anybody, not to politician or anyone other people? This is what God is doing around the world. Brothers, let's rejoice in what God is doing. It's amazing what God is doing. I would like to look at very significant portions of God's word this morning. And by the way, whatever I said was just my introduction. It's just a part of my introduction. I'm not even yet in an introduction. But I would like really to look at the very significant portions of God's word this morning, because I believe it speaks so significantly to all of us who care about the message of the gospel, all of us who care about the gospel, all of us, some of us other side of the pulpit, and some of us in this side of pulpit. But what a wonderful opportunity it is for us to be sitting and worship God, the living God. So this morning, I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you can, in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew Gospel, Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin our reading from verse 35 through 38. Now, I don't know how you do it here, but I'm going to ask you to rise up to the honor of the word of God, the real word of God, the real breath of God is going to be reading, and I'm asking you to rise and let's read the word of God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease, every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had a compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest field." May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I wanted to remind you that we are going to look at Jesus' public ministry. For a careful reader, you have to remember that the text we just read right now comes from Matthew chapter 9. And before then, Matthew started talking about Jesus' ministry, Jesus' public ministry. You will see it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. He talks about Jesus going from various places in Galilee. And I wonder why Matthew talks about Jesus going to Galilee and then all of a sudden stop and pick it up again in Matthew chapter 9. Well, I think he does so because he's honest. He's honest about himself. He's honest about you. He's honest about his reader. And he wants people to know, and whoever read the text to know, the geographical scope of Jesus' ministry, his public ministry. He says, Matthew says that really, when Jesus started his ministry, he started in Galilee. Now, an historian, Josephus, Jewish historian called Josephus, who says that in fact Galilee was a big region. Galilee had about 204 towns, cities, and villages. And he says in those villages there were at least 15,000 of people. Now, I don't claim to be a mathematician because I was zero when I was doing my school as a mathematician. I was not very good. But thank God for electronic. And when I did my mathematics, what I find out is that if Jesus was going through all the Galilee, he might be going to 204 cities and villages. And if that is true, that means that he was visiting about 15,000 of people. If you do your math well, you will realize that Jesus, in fact, was going and doing ministry for about 3 million people. That's a lot of people. Now, according to Josephus, he says in order for Jesus to go through all those villages and towns, he must be going to two villages a day, including Sabbath, and it will take him at least 3 months. Now, today you can get up and go to Romania, you can go to Africa, you can go to Papua New Guinea. You get up today, you get in a plane, and tomorrow you are there. But I'm assuming that in that time, Jesus was going through horse. You get a horse or whatever, camel and something, and walk and go. So Jesus actually was busy. No wonder Matthew said that he was going from villages to villages. Now, why is it this is important to us to know? It is very important because Jesus wanted everybody to know that the kingdom is here. And Matthew said that Jesus was going through villages and towns and city doing what? He was basically doing five things. Jesus was teaching in their synagogues. Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. Jesus was healing every disease and sickness. Jesus had a compassion on people, and Jesus want the people to pray because he was praying. So I wanted to go through this quickly and give you some idea and how Jesus did his ministry. In fact, if Jesus did the ministry that way, it simply means that he's calling us also to do our ministry that way. First, Jesus was teaching in the synagogues. And one must ask why Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. In fact, what kind of teaching Jesus was giving to people when he was going to synagogues? Well, Matthew doesn't tell us clearly, but we can realize that what Jesus was doing, he was going around and telling the people that now the kingdom of God is here. That the kingdom of God is here because humanity have been separated from God through the fall. And because there is separation between God and humanity, God sent a son called Jesus to come to reconcile the world to himself. So Jesus was a bridge between God and humanity. That humanity needs God. The reconciliation was there. And therefore, if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you will come to that kingdom. People were stunned. They were amazed to hear what Jesus was saying because they never heard those kind of teaching before. Now, I have to tell you, if we are going to reach the world with the name of Jesus, we ought to be teaching people that there is a way. That, in fact, that is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the living water. If you come to me, you will come to the Father. And so this is what people are looking for around the world. We Christians ought to be teaching people the true word of God, that in fact there is a way to heaven, that you do not need to die going to hell. In fact, you have to realize that hell really exists. Nowadays, when I was young, and I'm 46 years old, I'm still a baby, but nowadays, nobody wants to talk about hell. But hell do exist. And God is still calling humanity, come to me. Come. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, if we are going to reach the world today, we must know the word. It bothers me that our generation today doesn't really understand what is the Bible is. They don't understand the scripture at all. Now, if you get up and meet someone on the road here and you ask him, if you know Christ, he will tell you, well, I know it's something about the Bible, but I don't know really who is Christ. They don't even know where is the New Testament from the Old Testament. They know that Bible is sort of kind of book that make people, bother people to repent and do all those kind of crazy stuff. But Jesus was going from towns through towns and villages and preaching and asking people to reconcile with God. Not only Jesus was going through towns and teaching in the synagogues, he was also preaching. He was preaching the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says, or well, Matthew says that Jesus was going through towns and villages preaching the good news of the kingdom. And one must ask, what is this good news? What is this gospel about? Well, we must remember that the good news is the reign and the rule of Christ in people's hearts. It is when Christ comes and establishes his rule and reign in our heart. When Christ comes and establishes his rule and reign in our mind, over that soul, over that mind. And when he begins to change our lives and make it new, as the old nature is gone and the new is coming through the reign and the rule of Christ in our hearts. The good news, it is for us, but the good news is also for the people in the world. The good news is for you, and the good news is for me. We must have a good dose of the gospel every day. I need Christ every day, don't you? I need Jesus Christ every day. Every day that I wake up, I can only think about Jesus, my very breath. My very strength, everything in me is in Christ. If God, the gospel doesn't change you, doesn't transform you, you're dead and you go to hell. Jesus was very much aware of that. And he asked, I get to go. I have to go from villages to villages and town to town to share the good news. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is an urgency in the world today to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we became as a Christian? We are secret agents. We don't want to talk about the gospel. We don't want to witness to people. We don't want even to let people know that you are Christian. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And especially in the Western world, I wonder what is going on in the Western world today. The very gospel that you brought to us, we nationals, you told us that the gospel was important. You told us that's the only way to live, and yet you are turning away from the gospel. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is the reign and the rule of Christ in our hearts. It is not only the rule and the reign of Christ in your heart, in your family, but every tongue and tribe and tongue and people should hear that good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be going through highway and byways and share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. Not only Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, Jesus was preaching the good news of our Lord Jesus. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but Jesus also was healing. Now, I know you are Presbyterian and you believe in the eternal security of God's chosen people, but you see, I do too. You believe in election, but I do too. You believe in predestination, and I do too. You are Presbyterian, and I do too. But that's not what the text is telling us right now. I know you Presbyterian, you like the doctrine, you like all those things, and that is good. All that is very good. And I know you don't want to be laying hands on people and see people fall down. And me too, I don't want that. But Jesus was going around and healing. Now, there are many ways we can heal people. Now, one way, if you want to, you can be charismatic. There is nothing wrong with that. And go pray with people. But that is not what I believe as a Presbyterian. But Jesus was going and praying for people. You see, what Jesus was doing, he came to realize that people need spiritual healing, but also people need physical healing. The gospel is in word, and the gospel is also in deeds. Many years ago, in my country, I don't know, I heard that that's happened also here. I was in a very liberal Presbyterian, and am I in the record things by saying that? Okay, I'm sorry if you heard that. This liberal Presbyterian, and they begin to say, well, you know what, you can share the gospel with people without really telling them about Christ. That is not gospel. But what Jesus did here is that he was going around and was sharing the gospel. He was giving the spiritual healing, which is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also he was healing people. He was touching them. And that is what we have to do. Now, you can do it through many, many areas. You don't have to be a preacher to go and heal nations. Let me give you some few things to think about. We in this place, in this room, we have opportunity as never before to go and heal nations. Are you a doctor? Are you a lawyer? Are you a mason? Are you a carpenter? Whoever you are, you can use your skill to go around the world and share the good news and heal nations. Last year, we took a team, a medical team, to Africa, 11 doctors. And within five days, we treated about 1,500 people. The first 2 days was very okay. The third day, the place was crowded like a flea market. 6,000 people were trying to bust in to try to see one doctor, at least one doctor. I remember very well, we had a very old lady, about, you know, I have to be careful what I say here, about 60 years old. That's not old, but it's old in my area there. She came and said to the doctor, I'm having a problem, I have bowel movement problem. For 30 years, I'm not able to have a bowel movement by myself. And Dr. Scott Yeagle gave her just six pills. She went home. The third day, she came back screaming, yelling, people listening. These people have a magic medicine. For 30 years, I couldn't have a bowel movement, and only one pill. I'm able not to have a bowel movement once, twice, but three times. And then she goes on and say, I wanted to tell you, these people have a God that we need to worship. And I want to tell you, people, from now on, I will worship this God until I die. Don't need to bring necessarily to go and be a preacher before you bring someone to Christ. If you're a doctor, you can go and share the good news with people. Do you know how many people are hurting around the world? How many people want to eat a meal a day? You can help. Well, there is another story I would like to tell you, and that is this young man wanted to, was sick. Actually, he was sick. And he came to our clinic, and we were able to treat her. And he was sick because he had a big jar that was swelling. And when the doctor saw it, he said, this boy is going to die. He probably have a cancer. And then we did what, I was not a doctor, but the doctor did what they can and treated him. And the third day, the boy came back rejoicing. A young girl had malaria, would have died if the doctors were not there. You see, God is calling us to be healers of the nations. And you don't need to be taught, Dave taught or David taught to go around the world. You don't need to be a preacher. Are you a lawyer? Do you know how many people need help from injustice around the world? I don't know who you are, but wherever you happen to be, the Lord is calling you to go and heal the nations. Not only Jesus teach in their synagogues, preach in the kingdom of God, heal the people, but the text tells us also that Jesus had a compassion on people. It's very important. Now, if you read it, it's very interesting the way Jesus described these people in verse 36. The text says, when he saw the people, he had a compassion. And why he had a compassion? Because they were helpless. They were harassed. They were like a sheep without shepherd. Well, this word of compassion is a very interesting word because it gives the notion of someone who feels something deep, deep in the deep center of his emotion. It's like when you heard for the first time that your loved one have a cancer and is going to die within 2 weeks' time. How do you feel? You are moved with emotion. You feel that emotion comes in. And that is exactly what's happened with Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowd coming, he was moved with compassion. And it's very interesting. He qualified these people as a people who are sheep without shepherd. I don't know if you know anything about sheep, do you? Now, we in Africa, we deal a lot, especially in the Muslim world, we deal a lot with the sheep. Now, I got to tell you, the sheep is the most stupid animal you ever have in your life. It's the most stupid animal. He doesn't know how to take care of itself. He doesn't know how to drink. He doesn't know, if the danger is coming, the sheep doesn't know where to go. Is defenseless. And Jesus qualified these people as a sheep without shepherd. You know what? That is who you are. That's who you were before you became Christian. You were lost. You were far away from Christ. You were going crazy doing some stupid stuff. And God, in his love, brought you back to himself and changed you and modeled you and make you who you are today. Well, how dare are you to say that you can go preach the good news? There are a lot of people today who are hurting and are going crazy, not because they want to be like that, just because they need a Savior. They need a Savior. I don't know if you have been watching the news lately. On Friday afternoon, if you watch the news, you will see a lot of Muslims growing crazy. They're going like angry mobs, burning off American flags, doing some death to America, death to Western world and all that. And I wonder, how do you feel when you see them? Do you see them as a terrorist? Do you see them as a people who are in desperate need of a Savior? I don't see them as a terrorist. Although they wanted to bomb us and kill us, I don't see them as a terrorist. I see them as people who are helpless, hopeless, who need a Savior, desperately need a Savior, who want to be in a relationship with God. You see, we Christians are to be seeing the world the way Jesus sees it. We Christians are to be seeing the people the way God sees them. We are to have a compassion on people. We are to give to the people the love of Christ as we reveal Christ to them. How do you feel when you see people around the world? How do you feel when you see people from Afghanistan? What about Iraq? What about Iran? What about Pakistan, Indonesia, all those places, Algeria, Egypt, Yemen? How do you feel about them? Do you see them as people, terrorists? Or do you have a compassion on them and want to see them become in the kingdom and have a relationship with Christ? Now, if the lostness of humanity doesn't bother you, then you have no place to be in the church. Do you want me to say it again? If the lostness of people doesn't bother you, you have no business of being in church. It bothers Christ deeply. When he saw the people, he was so moved, not because he doesn't want to help them. It bothers him that the humanity created by his father is completely lost and behaving like savages. Jesus is calling us to have compassion on people, and you can do too. Let me give you an example. A few years ago, I was called, actually we were called by national leaders in Togo and West Africa by the governments, and they want us to come because there was something going on. And what was going on basically was that every now and then, kids from age of 7 to 10 will disappear. They really didn't know what was going on. And after investigation, they came to realize that these kids were being taken by force and sent to Ivory Coast and Nigeria and other places for slavery. They were going over there and working in a coffee plantation. By the way, your Starbucks coffee, I don't want to make you feel bad, come from children's slavery. They were working in the plantation, and when we heard that, we called an organization called Justice for Missions. It's not far from here, and they went and they take care of that. Now, these people, these children would have been there even today as I speak if a Christian didn't step up and do something about it. Jesus is calling us to have a compassion. Jesus is calling us to go and share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's calling us to go because there is desperate people in desperate world. Not only that, Jesus was teaching, was preaching, was healing, had a compassion, but finally Jesus asked us to pray. Jesus asked us to pray. Now, you will see that in verse 37, he says that pray. And the question is, why Jesus asked us to pray? And he goes on to say, because the harvest is plentiful. Now, this notion of harvest being plentiful is a very interesting notion. Now, when you heard that first, you will think, well, Jesus is saying there are so many people around the world to reach, and certainly we do have a lot of people around the world. We have 7 billion of people around the world. Only over 2 billion claim to be Christian. And so when you heard that kind of statement, you will say, oh, Jesus is asking us to go and reach the world. That is very true. But really what Jesus was saying is that he is asking us to be busy, because there is an urgency of going and share the good news. It's a sense of urgency. It's not a sense of number. You see, if you have orange or mango somewhere here, and it's ripe, if you don't pick it up and eat it on time, it will spoil. And Jesus is saying, well, you ought to be busy praying. And praying why? Because there is an urgency. There are people out there who need to hear the gospel, the real gospel, the reign and the rule of Christ in people's hearts. But there is another problem Jesus pointed out to us. He said, not only there is a sense of urgency, but there is also a sense of a lack of workers. Now, around the world today, if you don't know, we only have 12,000 people for 7 billion people. 12,000 missionaries for 7 billion people. That's a few people for the world. And so Jesus was saying, pray that the Lord of harvest will raise people who can go on mission field. Pray so the Lord of harvest will raise people who can go to mission field. Now, ever since Jesus has been came to the world, the problem never been a lack of people. It is not a lack of money. It's not a lack of resources. In fact, it's a lack of willingness to go. There are a lot of people who don't want to go and yet want to be Christian. But let me tell you what is going on. Now, if you are a Christian and you claim to be Christian, you ought to be going by many reasons. You're going and share the good news of our Lord Jesus with the people. Now, you can do that through many, many reasons, through many, many ways. You can either help to send people to go, or you can go. You know, there are few people who care to pray for missionaries for the church. Do you know that? There are few people who care to give. There are few people who care to go. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying. The problem is not the lack of workers. The problem is that there are few people who care to give. I bet some of you might say, well, I'm too old enough to go, but I can't go. But you cannot tell me that you have no means to send people to go. You can use your skill, your talent, and your gift or your resources to send people to go to mission field. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whoever I happen to talk to, I wanted to tell you, you have the resources to make people go on the mission field. I know there are people here who would love to go to mission field. It bothers me a great deal when I go around and see missionaries sitting on the bench waiting for someone to help them go to mission field. And yet we are in this room and other places complaining that Islam, Muslims is taking over the world. What are you doing sitting here complaining? Why don't you get on your knees and begin to pray that the Lord will bring people so that they can go on mission field? Why don't you give your resources? Why don't you give your financial resources so people can go and share the good news with others? If you think that you can go. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying. It's saying that it is not a problem of number. It's a problem of willingness. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to send people? The Lord is calling us to pray earnestly by sending, by helping, by encouraging, by mobilizing people to go. You might be in this room today and you might be wondering, what? I might not want to go. That's fine. But I urge you to get on your knees and to pray and ask the Lord, what can I make, what can I do to help other people to go? I want to leave you with these questions and you think about it. How do you feel about people in the world? How do you feel about people in the world? How do you feel about people who don't know Christ yet? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Would you hold your time? Would you hold your finances? Would you hold your gift? Would you refuse to do that for the sake of the gospel? You think about that. Let us pray. Father, we are amazed that you are calling us to go, to pray, to give. Because you have come through your Son, Jesus Christ, and you have done that. And so we pray that you help us to think about all these things. For your kingdom's sake, we pray. Amen.